Hello, everyone.
We'll pick up with Psalms chapter 66.
Make a joyful noise unto God, all you lands. A joyful noise. Now, some people, when they sing, they talk about how they can't carry a note in a bucket. Well, that shouldn't keep them from singing. We should make a joyful noise, and it's not really a noise. It's a beautiful sound to God. You don't have to be an accomplished singer for God to listen and enjoy and consider your praise of Him a beautiful sound. But what we want to do is go ahead and make a joyful sound to God. When we're by ourselves, we can sing to Him, driving in the car, sing to Him, walking out in creation, hum and sing to Him, and at church, make a joyful noise unto God. That's who we're singing to. And I can tell you this much, I'm not saying you should yell so that you just stand out, but I'm saying go ahead and sing from the heart and sing with enthusiasm. And you're singing to Him, and it's going to be a beautiful sound to Him, whether you are in key and you are hitting all the notes right or not. That's not what He looks for. He looks for your attitude, and are you singing from the heart? And are you expressing how you feel about Him and His greatness with tremendous feeling and sincerity? That's what He looks for. And if you can hit all the notes and be in key, fine, that's good too. Sing forth, see verse 2, sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible are you in your works. Once again, the word there should be awesome. How awesome, how amazing, how stunning are you in your works. Through the greatness of your power shall your enemies submit themselves unto you. And they're going to be enemies that fight against God, but they're going to lose, and they're going to submit, and they're going to bow before Him. Every knee will bow. Verse 4, all the earth shall worship you. Doesn't now, but it will in the future, and it's coming. And we're preparing for that. All the earth shall worship you, and shall sing unto you. They shall sing to your name. Imagine that. Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land, the Red Sea, for instance. They went through the flood, or the river, or the water on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He rules by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. You know, in this election that's coming up, and will it ever end? And when it does, another one will start taking place again. So politics are going to be with us until Christ comes, and all of the ugliness that goes with that. But this presidential election, God's watching. Who's going to be the next president? Nobody knows, but God will see to it that the one that He wants in there will be the one that goes in. And some of that will depend on what He has in mind for the work. But mainly, the one that goes in there will be a part of events that's going to lead to more events and more events and prophetic fulfillment. I can tell you this much, no matter who gets in there, they're not going to be able to solve the problems that we are facing in this world today and in our nation and in the nations of Israel in particular. And I'm not easily scared, but I'm getting to where now when I listen to the news, I'm left very uneasy because we have painted ourselves into a corner. We've dug the hole too deep. We're not going to be able to solve the problems that we're faced with. The economic problems are just overwhelming. And then you get into crime and drugs and family breakup and war and just sleaze and corruption. The only answer is going to be the kingdom of God. But all of this is not going unnoticed. God sees it. And when He gets ready, He'll intervene. In the meantime, He'll protect His work in church. His eyes behold the nations. Verse 8, O bless our God, you people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holds our soul in life and suffers not our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You've tested us. You've refined us. And with your help, we passed the test. And we're precious in your sight because of that, because of you and your help. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction upon our loins. Yes, we do have some severe trials sometime. It builds into us faith and character, and God learns about us, and we learn about ourselves, but He won't ever forsake us. You have caused men to ride over our heads. Sometimes we are mistreated, but we're not rejected of God.
We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into a wealthy place, out into an abundant place, even though we went through fire and water. We came out on the other side, and we learned from it, and we grew from it, and you learned about us. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows. Well, we don't take burnt offerings, but on the holy days we do take offerings. But on the other days and other Sabbaths, we take offerings of praise and joy and fellowship and thanksgiving. I will pay you my vows or my promised deeds. I will keep my word, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Verse 14. You know, sometimes we might forget to praise God as much as we ought to, and to pray to Him and to look to Him and to thank Him. Then we get into deep trouble and we start crying out to Him, and we start talking to Him and we start saying, please just help me, Father. And when I get out of this, I'm going to be closer to you than ever. And if you'll just deliver me from this, I'm going to serve you with all my heart. And yet sometimes when people make those kind of statements and they get well or they are delivered or things get solved, they forget about God. Well, David said he didn't. He said, I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my promised good deeds, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. And when I get out of trouble, I'm still going to pay you what I said I would pay you. I'm going to commit everything to you and serve you. And my promised deeds, you will see I follow through on them. I will offer unto you burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. That's in the time of animal sacrifices. Now it's in the time of spiritual sacrifices and us being living sacrifices. Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my life. Verse 16, David says. And David did speak to the congregations, and he did counsel people, and he was a teacher, and they listened. Verse 17, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue, or praised with what I said. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now that's a very important verse right there that we want to pause on a little bit. If we look at sin and we are interested in sin and we're lured into iniquity and sin, or if we have attitudes of hating others, that's sin, or vengeance or getting even, that's sin. In other words, what's in our mind and heart affects our prayers and affects whether or not God's going to hear our prayers. So we better clear out our heart and our mind of any of that stuff. We better be clear before God and clean before God and pure before God and have love and have the right kind of motives and have a tremendous passionate desire for righteousness in our innermost being. What's in there? And then when we come before God, He's going to hear our prayers. But if we have wrong thoughts, wrong actions, wrong motives, and we're not right before God, and yet we come before Him to pray, it says right here, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, we want Him to hear our prayers, so we better make sure that we are lined up with and right with Him, and then He will hear our prayers. Verse 19, but verily God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Why? Because David repented of his sins. And David made sure that his heart was right before God. And if he caught himself thinking in the wrong way, which he did, and doing the wrong thing, which he did, he cried out to God for forgiveness and got it right, and then came before God and knew that God would hear his prayer. But when he came before God and that other part of his life wasn't right, God didn't hear his prayer. And David found that out. And the same is true with us. So make sure that we take a look and examine ourselves, and as we pray to God, make sure that we're trying to obey God or we're not harboring any kind of wrong thoughts or actions or motives and having any kind of interest in this world or iniquity, and our heart is kind of halfway toward God and halfway toward what we want to do and toward the world, because the Lord will not hear our prayers then. But He will when we have the attitude and heart that David had, which is a man after God's own heart. But verily God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Verse 20. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. He has not turned away my prayer. What a wonderful blessing. And David was rejoicing about that, and so can we. Now we come to Psalm 67 and verse 1. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah. Brethren, we can pray about God's church like this and God's work like this. David prayed this way upon himself and his family, but upon all the nation of Israel. What a wonderful verse, Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Let's see a wonderful passage of Scripture that we ought to read from time to time. Numbers chapter 6, 25, which ties right in with this. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 25. Notice this. And I pray this from time to time, and I pray it on God's people, and I pray it about God's people, and about God's church and God's work. Look what it says here in Numbers 6 and verse 22. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 23, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, Numbers 6 and verse 23, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. You ever pray that about the church and the work and people you know? I do. The Lord bless you and keep you. Verse 25, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Isn't it wonderful? The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Let's pray to God and pray that way about his people and his church and his work. And he will do that. He will hear that prayer, and he will bless his people. And so from time to time, turn over there to number 6 and verse 22 through 27 and just read that, and then get on your knees and ask God's blessing and ask God to answer that prayer as you go through that prayer today and in spiritual Israel of today. Okay, back to Psalm 67 and verse 1. David said, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations. God's way, God's saving health. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. And once again, he's talking about the kingdom of God in the world tomorrow. We can pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it fits right in with what we're reading here. And we ought to pray that regularly. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. And then everything we hear about in this world today will be changed in the kingdom of God in the world tomorrow. All of the horrible things that are going on will be replaced by wonderful things. All of the unsolvable problems that we face every day all over the world as humanity will be solved, and there will be blessings instead of problems. We need to think about that, talk about that, pray about that. And we need to absorb that so that we're looking beyond now to then. And that's very encouraging and very inspiring when we do that. Just listen to this, verse 4, Psalm 67. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise you, O God, let all the people praise you. Then shall the earth yield her increase, give her produce. And God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Talk about a world tomorrow passage of Scripture. There we are. We're reading one right here, and we've read several here tonight. They're very inspiring to turn to and study and read. Anytime, day or night, we will get a pickup, and we will start thinking bigger. And we will start thinking and focusing on the things that really count if we'll take time to read some of these chapters that we're going through here in Psalms, having to do with a wonderful time coming in the world tomorrow. Now we come to chapter 68. This is a bit of a long chapter, but we'll move along quickly. There's a lot here, so much here, so many interesting things. Psalm 68 and verse 1, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him, and they will. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God, because they won't repent. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Brethren, can we exceedingly rejoice? I hope that we are growing to the point to where we can exceedingly rejoice. It doesn't mean we spin out of control. It doesn't mean we start losing any kind of decorum. But it's just overwhelming. We're so happy. It wells up inside of us. Sing unto God. Sing praises to Him. Extol Him. Praise Him that rise upon the heavens. By His name, Jah, and rejoice before Him. J-A-H, which in the Hebrew is just a shortened form of Lord. By His name, Lord, and rejoice before Him. A father of the fatherless, and a defender or judge of the widows, is God in His holy habitation. You know, when we mistreat anybody, God is going to hold us responsible, and He's going to hold us accountable. But if you want to get into really deep trouble, then you mistreat an orphan. You mistreat a widow. You mistreat a fatherless boy or girl. And you mistreat a widow, no matter what age they are. Now you're really in trouble. A father of the fatherless is the Almighty God. I'll be a father to the children that don't have a father. They've got me. I'm their father. And a defender of the widows. They may not have a husband, but they have me, and I'll be there. Is God in His holy habitation. We better be careful to take note of that verse, because God is very particular about what that verse says. And there are many other places in the Bible that talk about that very thing. And so He certainly means what He says there, and I hope we understand that. We don't want to be in a position of mistreating anybody, and we certainly don't want to be in a position of mistreating a fatherless child and a widow. Better not. We're in trouble in that case. Verse 6, Psalm 68. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Now, here's another example of where another translation helps. And like I said before, the New King James is a good translation, and others. I like the Revised Standard Version, and Mr. Armstrong used it often as well. Let me show you how that helps clear this verse up. Another good translation. Not all translations are good, by the way. You got to be careful about the translations you use. They can mislead you. But the Authorized King James Version is the most accurate translation. And then the New King James Version is right there close. And the Revised Standard, they're dependable. And there are some others that have parts of translations that are good. You have to get it in context. But just notice here, Revised Standard Version, Psalm 68 and verse 6. Here's how it clears it up. In the Authorized King James, it says, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Well, what in the world is that talking about? Well, here's what they're talking about. And other translations verify this. God gives the desolate a home to dwell in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. See how much clearer that is? God gives the desolate a home to dwell in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. So there's an example of how checking another translation to clear up a difficult-to-be-understood verse helps out. Continuing, verse 7, Psalm 68. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you did march through the wilderness, Selah, and He does go before His people, and He does march through the wilderness of this world, so to speak. He does lead us. He does watch over us. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. And He's coming back to this earth, and then He's really going to lead and go before His people and march through the wilderness, so to speak. Look what happens. Verse 8. The earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You read about that instance when they came into the wilderness of Mount Sinai and there was smoke and thunder and shaking going on because Jesus Christ, the rock, the one who later became Jesus Christ, descended there, and Moses went up on the mountain, communed with Him, and got the Ten Commandments. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God. You can read about that over there in Exodus. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby Thou didst confirm Thine inheritance when it was weary. You helped out Your people. You sent rain. You met their needs. And He's still doing it today. He's going to take care of His inheritance. Your congregation has dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of Your goodness for the poor. That's another category of people we better not mistreat, the poor. Now, talking about lazy, indolent, slothful people, and of course we shouldn't mistreat them either. But the poor, some people make fun of the poor. They snicker at them. They hold them in contempt. They don't know the set of circumstances piled on top of themselves that have put them in a place to where they're poverty-stricken. I've lived in poverty before. You read about Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong living in poverty for 28 years. And yet they were hard workers. And then God began to deliver them out of it. So we better be careful about our attitude toward the poor. And if they're really trying and they're really working at it and we can help them out a little, we ought to figure out a way to do that. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Now there's a verse I have marked, Psalm 68, verse 11. It's talking about the truth, the gospel, the way of life, the word. It's talking about teamwork here. Did you see that? The Lord gave the word, the truth. This is his word. Great was the company. See that? Great was the company of those that published it. Did you know you're part of publishing the gospel of the kingdom of God when you help out with the Straightforward magazine, when you pray about it, when you send in your tithes, when you help with the distribution, when you read it and try to live by it, when you're a part of the work? That's what it's talking about here. This is talking about teamwork. All aspects of the work. Letting our light shine. Leading our families. Working hard on our jobs. Overcoming and growing. Being a part of every aspect of the work in our prayers and in serving and helping in any way we can. The Lord gave the word, the truth. Great was the company of those that published it, proclaimed it. I love that verse. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Now, isn't that interesting? Verse 12. I want to take a look at another translation here. Kings of armies did flee apace. You know, sometimes when armies went out and they defeated other nations and they took the spoil and brought it back to their homeland, in some cases, those that stayed home and kept the home fires burning, so to speak, they didn't get any part of that. But that's not the way it was in God's kingdom and in God's nation and the way God set up his government. Those that stayed home and looked after everything there and took care of the responsibilities that had to be met while the army was off fighting the battle, when they brought the plunder back, they got the same part of the spoil that those who went to battle got. Notice here in Psalms 68 and verse 12. The kings of the armies, they flee. The women at home divide the spoil. See, they're keeping the home. They're taking care of the kids. They're looking after things. And sometimes men had to stay back and take care of the herds and flocks. And the spoil was shared with them. God is fair in everything he does. And in some cases, people who get overlooked in other circumstances, when it's done God's way, those who are trying to obey him, they never get overlooked. And not the women at home. They don't get overlooked either. Verse 13, though you have lain among the pots, a better translation, among the sheepfolds or saddlebags, yet shall you be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be taken care of. You may not be a hero out there in the battle. You have to take care of the flocks and you have to take care of home responsibilities. You're going to be blessed and you're going to be rewarded. You may not be a minister. You may not write articles. You may not give sermons. You carry out your responsibility in your situation no matter what age you are. You're going to be blessed. Just like everybody else, we all have a part in God's church. We all have a part on God's team. We carry out that part. One, we're going to help get the job done, and two, we're going to be blessed for doing so. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon, or in Zalmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan, strong and powerful. And when God cleans out a place, he makes it clean and pure, white as snow. Why leap you, you high hills? This is the hill which God desires to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. Talking about the kingdom and Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. Have you noticed how often as we go through this book of Psalms, how it goes back and forth, and sometimes it's dual, and sometimes it's about David, and sometimes it's about Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, and sometimes it's about Israel as a physical nation on this earth. You got to just watch it and read it in context, and you'll see. But it says right here, verse 16, yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. So that can be talking about only one time, and that's when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. Actually, a better translation is even thousands of thousands. I can just tell you right now, we don't know how many angels there are. But we have enough numbers to know that there are thousands upon millions of angels. It's almost an innumerable number of angels. And God created the angels to carry out responsibilities for Him. They're ministering spirits, and to take care of His people and take care of His creation and those things that are God's. In other words, they are ministering spirits of God to carry out assignments from God wherever He sends them. And they are ministering spirits to God's people and God's work and God's church. And they are alive and they are busy and they're on the job. And we can be thankful. We can be very, very thankful that God puts His angels around us and around His little ones and His older ones and everybody that are His. And He does. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, I think we're going to be amazed when we can understand more fully about angels and we're in the family of God. I think we're going to be amazed at how often angels were protecting us and guarding us and surrounding us and looking after us. And we can't be careless and we can't take that for granted, but we can be assured and comforted and inspired by it. Verse 18, you have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts for men. Among men is a better translation. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And He is going to dwell among men. And some of them are going to be rebellious, but they won't stay that way. And He is going to do away with captivity and give freedom. So once again, verse 18 is talking about the future when Jesus Christ will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 19, look at this verse. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. I think He loads us with so many benefits that we can't even acknowledge them all. But we ought to try. Start counting up the benefits God gives us physically, and then count up the benefits God gives us spiritually. And you're going to run out of time and paper, but you can get a long way toward acknowledging them. Just think about the benefits. We don't think about that enough. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. The truth, His Holy Spirit, protection, healing, guidance, direction, understanding, the privilege of being in His church and work, of being a part of His plan of salvation, of moving toward being resurrected, of being in His family, food, water, clothing, shelter, health, families, friends, jobs. It just goes on and on and on. We can hear, we can see, we can taste, we can touch, we can feel, we can think, we can work, we can play, we have cars, and on and on. He wants us to notice those things. Verse 20, He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongs the issues from death, or the escapes from death. Verse 21, But God shall wound the head of His enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goes on still in his trespasses. What does that mean? We ought to have a question there. I remember someone gave a sermon at headquarters at Ambassador College one time and explained that a little further, and I revisited it. It's very interesting. I want to read that verse out of Moffat, Psalm 68, and verse 21. Yes, God will shatter the head of His foes, each long-haired sinner who defies Him. Long-haired sinner, long-haired rebel. There's every reason to believe that that's talking about men who wear long hair and the rebellious attitude that goes along with it. And I've noticed that, and we don't have time to get into it tonight, but we'll get into it another time. We know that in 1 Corinthians 11:14-16, it says that it's a shame for a man to have long hair, and it's a glory for a woman to have long hair, but it's a shame for a man to have long hair. A man should have hair that's short, doesn't need to be cropped off necessarily. It's up to the man as far as the style. But a man's hair shouldn't cover his ears and his neck. It should be shorter. And a woman's hair should be long. It doesn't have to go all the way down to the floor, but it should cover her ears and her neck. And once again, there's style. She can put it up on her head. But it has to do with lots of things, including attitude. When a woman just crops off her hair, I've noticed her attitude changes. It's more independent, more rebellious. And when a man lets his hair grow long, I've noticed it changes his attitude. It's more, ha, ha, ha. I'm doing what I shouldn't do. I'm rebelling. I'm being independent here. And so, isn't that interesting when you consider that, and then you read Psalm 68:21 in the Moffat translation. Yes, God will shatter the head of his foes, each long-haired sinner or rebel who defies him. And you just notice and see if that doesn't apply to men who insist on having long hair. I'll do what I want. And by extension, to women who have their hair cropped off. I'll do what I want, not what God wants and what is proper and appropriate according to God's word. So verse 21 carries more meaning than perhaps we had noticed before. Notice verse 22. Now the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. No matter where they are, God's going to recover them. That your foot may be dipped in the blood of your enemies and the tongue of your dogs in the same. Now that's a figurative thing. These were bloody times and terrible times and awful times. And on the battlefield, when the enemies fell, and the conquerors walked through the battlefield, their feet got bloody, that's for sure. And sometimes there were dogs that were with them, dogs of war, and they were there waiting through all that carnage as well. What a horrible time. We need to look forward to the time there will be no more war. But God did give Israel the victory when they looked to him for it. Verse 24, they shall see your goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. Goings meaning procession or conduct or what God was doing or about to do. His goings forth. Verse 25, another thing you find David mentioning quite often, not only singing, but music and musicians and singers. And if you have a talent that way, share it with others. And it is a talent. It's a gift. Verse 25, Psalm 68, the singers went before. The players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing timbrels, all in celebration and worship and praise toward God. Bless you, God, in the congregations. Even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali, all tribes of Israel, descendants of Jacob, precious and special in God's eyes. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, that which you have wrought for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto you. If you notice how often tonight as we're going through here, we're reading about the world tomorrow. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls and the calves of people, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Do away with it. The time is coming when there will be no more war. Come back to this earth, God, and scatter the people that delight in war and stamp out war. We can pray that way. I'll tell you, war is much worse than people understand. And you talk to anybody who's ever been there, if you can get them to talk about it, which you probably can't, and they'll tell you it's nothing like the movies depicted. Some movies can capture some of the horribleness of it, but who wants to watch that? Godspeed the day when there will be no more war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, you kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rides upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe your strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are awesome out of your holy places. The God of Israel is he that gives strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. That brings us to the end of Psalm 68. What a wonderful chapter. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.